Our third reading for today and final is Romans chapter 13 and verses 8 through 14. In the words of Paul the Apostle, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Well, my brothers and sisters, we have now officially arrived at the end of the year. This will be the last time I speak to you for this year. Another one of those giant hourglasses is just about run out of its last bit of sand. 12 more months have passed away and will never be recovered. As we've talked about this morning, some opportunities have been capitalized upon. Some of them have been lost, and others neglected, even wasted. Things written in the books. Okay, this is what Revelation says. The small and the great stood before the throne of God, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged according to the things written in the books. Now, what else do you think is written in the books other than how you have spent this last year of your life and the ones before it? Okay, and everything you do today and everything you do tomorrow and for the rest of your life, whether or not you seize the opportunities that present themselves to you to do God's will, it is all going to be written in the books. And you cannot unring a bell. And you cannot recover what is past, and you don't get a do-over. But you do have what remains. Paul says in Romans 13, the night is far spent. However, it is not completely gone, is it? Right? He says here, it is high time, says verse 11, Romans 13:11, it is high time to awaken out of sleep. We don't know how much time remains to us. You do not know how many more opportunities God will give you to come into his house and hear his words, to hear his instructions to you, to hear his will read to you and explained and applied to your life. We do not know when will be our last chance to look on one another's faces, do we? We don't know how many more chances God will give us who are disobedient to come into line with his will and give him the submission and the honor that we owe him. In fact, how long do you think God is obligated to wait for the disobedient? Is it another year? 10 more years? No, he doesn't owe us another day, does he?
No.
Okay. All is of grace. Okay. Even the fact that you have received this day is of grace. Paul says, awake to righteousness. Awaken now. Okay. That goes for you who are young. It goes for you who are old. And it goes for you who are in between. Awake and repent. Because the kingdom of Christ is right at hand. In fact, it is one full year closer at hand than it was. And daydreamy and drowsy Christians need to get up, get dressed for action, and march. Okay, make some progress in the path that is marked out for us. Now, today we have read three very rich, densely packed passages of God's Word to us. And I hope that you have been able to see something of the high calling of life that God has brought us into and the sorts of good things, high and holy things, that He wants us to be focusing our efforts and our attention on instead of the trivial pursuits that fill such a great proportion of our lives. Now, did anybody ever tell you when you were younger that you probably wouldn't amount to much? Did anybody ever tell you that? Here is what the Almighty God says that you could amount to. A saint, a sage, a messenger of eternal life, a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, a pure vessel, a steadfast warrior, a conqueror of evil spirits, a bearer of good news, an agent of peacemaking, a rescuer of the perishing, a star in the dark night of the world, a voice in the choir of heaven, a flame of fire, a hammer in the hand of God that breaks the rock in pieces. Now, does education make a person into those things? Is it money? Is it beauty? Is it connections? It is God Himself who forms a person into those kinds of things by His Spirit. It is by the effectual working power of God that an unknown backwards South Jersey farm boy with an eighth grade education becomes an arrow in the hands of the divine warrior, while the beauty queens and the entertainers and the political power brokers and the Ivy League scholars waste away in their vanity and their self-worship and their empty accomplishments. Do you get what I'm saying? One man in the hand of God becomes a glorious immortal, and another one perishes in his corruption forever. Awake, my friends. You are called to be saints. Are you an ordinary person? So what? Why should that stop you? So is everybody an ordinary person. Elijah is an ordinary person. And St. Peter is an ordinary person. Okay, the truth is, there's no such thing as ordinary people. You were made in the likeness of God. And furthermore, if, and I say if, the Spirit of Christ is in you, you are being renewed in the likeness of God. Don't call what God has made holy ordinary. You are not common. However, awaken to your calling and fulfill your calling. Strive to be what God in His marvelous power and His infinite creativity means for you to be. He says, whoever overcomes. Okay, understand, whoever, that's you. Whoever overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the house of my God. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them to the end, I will give him authority over the nations. And that goes even if you are from Bridgeton, New Jersey. You don't have to be from somewhere. You understand? You didn't think you had to be from somewhere to live a life that brings glory to God and rewards to yourself. No, there is nothing preventing you from being all that God would have you to be except your own lassitude, your own spiritual sleepiness. Know the time, Paul says. Redeem the time. Make full use of the time. Okay, it means don't continue letting days and weeks and months slip away without applying yourself to the pursuit of godliness. And what Paul said in Philippians, the excellence of knowing Jesus Christ, of being found in Him, being rooted and built up in Him. Okay, none of you is going to say at the end of your life, I wish I had spent more time at the office. Okay, none of you is going to say, I wish I had spent more time at my computer. I wish I had spent more days golfing. I wish I had got the complete collection of China dolls or NFL bobblehead dolls, okay? Nobody is going to say, I wish I had collected more Vera Bradley. I wish I had got more manicures. Okay, I wish I had watched all the episodes of, you know, American Ninja Warrior or Junkyard Dogs or whatever it is that you like to watch. Okay, I wish I had spent more Sundays barbecuing. No, people say things like, if only I had made amends with my son. If only I hadn't turned away in anger when somebody came to me to apologize. If only I had been a better listener as a husband. If only I had read the Bible to my children. If only I had said I was sorry. If only I had written that letter. If only I had accepted my neighbor's invitation to Sunday school. If only I had chosen friends who loved Jesus Christ instead of made jokes about him. That's the kind of things people say. Now, if you say those kinds of things, don't groan and fret and kick yourself over what's gone and what's lost or what you did or you didn't do in the year that now has evaporated. Forget the things that are behind. Fix your sights on the things that are ahead. Have you failed? Have you procrastinated? Have you dropped the ball? Have you left unresolved for another whole year that same problem? Do you have an unpaid debt? Do you have an unpaid debt of love to anyone? Some issue that hasn't been talked out? Some forgiveness not asked? Some forgiveness not granted? Okay, recall the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the judge, from the Sermon on the Mount. Settle matters with your adversary now while you are still with him along the way, lest you be turned over to the officer and then to the jailer and be thrown into prison, and you will not get out. And recall the words of the Lord's brother, James, who says, don't grumble against each other, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Now, no one knows the day or the hour, but I can tell you this much. The day is 365 days closer than it was. And I said it last Sunday night, okay, you don't even have to think in terms of the return of the Lord. Is that going to be today, tomorrow, or the next day? Your own day to meet the Lord could be today, tomorrow, or the next day. You may meet the Lord in 2018, as soon as January 1st. You don't know when. So we find it incumbent upon ourselves, Christians, to make the most of what remains. What does Paul say here in Romans? He says, let us put on, like putting on clothes, let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Christians need to wake up, they need to get dressed, and they need to move on, press ahead, make an advance. Okay? That he says, let us cast off your night clothes. Okay, what you slept in, the fruitless works of darkness, the Bible calls it. Okay, the things that mark a life of spiritual slumber, spiritual unconsciousness. Shed those kinds of things. You take them off, you cast them aside, and put on instead the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you get out on the trail, and you get moving forward. Okay, Peter tells us you've spent enough time in the past doing the sorts of things that characterize the pagans and the world. Okay, going around here and there with the same goals the world has, the same enjoyments, and pretty much the same low level of interest in spiritual things. Okay, the things that truly will last. Okay, enough. Be done with that, Peter says. The new year is an opportunity for decision making, a new opportunity to set a course, to lay some plans, to set some goals. Christians, we're going to resolve. Put on Christ. Now, you have your bulletin, I assume. Take your bulletin home. Look up the passages that we read today again. Read them again. And you will find that they're filled, chock full, with things that we ought to be resolving to do. To put on Christ. Okay, if we are truly what we say we are. Okay, are we followers of Christ? Are we imitators of Christ? Are we regenerated sons and daughters of God? Because if we are we supernatural beings or are we not? If we are, we ought to resolve to obey and do the kinds of things that Paul lays upon us in these passages. For example, the first one we read, Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Okay, rejoice. We who worship God in the Holy Spirit, we are truly the people of God. Okay, we're his people. We for whom Jesus Christ is all in all. Okay, if we're going to put on Christ, Christ is something good, right? Okay, rejoice and be glad in Christ Jesus. Not rejoice in your abilities, rejoice in your good record of behavior, rejoice in your wealth, rejoice in your good looks, rejoice in your station. No, no, no. Paul says all that stuff is rubbish, okay, compared to the excellence of knowing Jesus Christ and focusing on Jesus Christ and resting in Christ and learning from Christ and putting on Christ. All those vain things that charm the world and that charmed me, I count them rubbish. Now, for you, that's different things than for him. For you, that might be television shows. It might be career goals. It might be college degrees. It might be sports teams. It might be, you know, your music collection or your library. Okay, all the vain things that are passing away, I consider them dust, he says, because Christ is mine and I am his and is far more excellent. Now, I find it very rare to encounter that kind of a heart in a person. Okay, it shouldn't be rare, but it is, sadly. Okay, there seem to me to be so few who aspire to make their one desire that I may by some means attain to the resurrection of the dead, that I may know Christ, that I may be found in him. Okay, to me, it's just an affirmation of the Lord's words that the way to life is narrow, and few find it, and that the road to destruction is broad, and most people go by it. Okay? It's up to you to choose. You either choose this way of life, or you choose against it. Okay? The surpassing excellence of knowing Christ, of being found in him, becoming like him through and through, even sharing his cross if need be, bearing his reproach. Okay, it is high time, Christians, for us to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ and find our happiness in him above all. Okay, and he says, those of us who are mature, let us have the same mind. Okay, another thing it's high time for is unity, more unity among the brotherhood. And we sang about it. Okay, time is ticking away. And look, this is what matters. It is what matters more than anything else. This is Christ's commandment, right? That we love one another. It's high time. Hebrews says, let brotherly love abide. Let it flourish. Let it continue. Let it abound. Paul says that strife and envy are the works of darkness. That's the night clothes. We're supposed to strip that off and take it off and cast it aside. It's the mark of the unsaved, strife and envy. We're to put on Christ instead. Okay, as a New Year's resolution, we must resolve to better cultivate a body of Christ mentality among ourselves. Okay, all of us who are joined to Christ are the parts of the body, and all of us are to care for each other, give ourselves up for each other, lay down our lives for each other. Okay, and so Paul even takes a verse aside to implore these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, get along in the Lord. It's necessary for the fellowship, because wherever there's quarreling and envy, that's where you find confusion and every evil thing. Okay? It's high time to put away strife and envy. They are darkness. They have to be purged away, because darkness and light cannot have fellowship. And it's high time also to get more serious about prayer. Anxiety characterizes many of our lives. Anxiety is the enemy of the Christian, isn't it? It's because anxiety is the opposite of trust. And trust in God is what saves. And prayer is our active expression of trusting in the living God and the omnipotent Father. Okay? Paul tells us here in Philippians, the Lord is near at hand. Either we believe that or we don't. If we do believe it, then we're going to be eager to pray in everything. And by prayer and petition, present your requests to God, and we'll receive his surpassing peace. Okay? If he's near, then call upon him while he's near. But frankly, for how many of us is prayer a daily activity? How many? How many of us had the intention on the first of the year that this was going to be the year that we become better prayers, and here the whole year has evaporated and it hasn't happened? Okay? When was the last time that you sat down with your spouse, hand in hand, or with your children, and really prayed genuine, honest, open, confessional prayer, not, you know, okay, not grace around the table, okay, I'm not talking about bless Nana, bless Papa, please help my foot feel better, okay, thank you for our food. No, I'm talking about a real husband and wife prayer, real parents and children prayer, friend to friend prayer. When was the last time? Okay, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, okay, you know the verse, I just don't know how well we believe it. Okay, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. You know the verse. I'm not sure how well we believe it. Okay? Maybe you pray alone, but don't you know that the Christian life is a life of togetherness and fellowship, not isolationism? Okay? I don't really think it's going too far out on a limb to say that the prayer life is probably the weakest part of the spiritual life for many of us. Okay? Start today. Forget what's past. The night is far spent, but it's not over. The day is at hand, so put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get down on your knees and pray, and pray with somebody. Okay? Finally, obedience. For some of you, it's high time for that. Okay? Obedience. It's just black and white. Okay? The writer of Hebrews here says, we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. Okay, make that clear to yourself. In all things, desiring to live honorably. Okay, faith without obedience is dead, and that is all there is to it. Okay, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? Don't kid yourself today with today's cheap distortion of the gospel that it says, that, you know, your actions, your conduct don't mean anything. It only matters what you have in your head, what you believe. Oh, I believe Jesus was crucified for our sins and he raised from the dead. Okay, yes, I believe that too. But if Christ is Lord and Master, that means he commands and you obey. That's what it is to have a master. Okay, Christianity is more than just talk. Whatever that is for you, wherever you need to obey. And again, it's different for different people. Maybe you only know what it is. Okay, maybe just you and God know. But it could be stop lying, stop the dirty things on the computer, give back something that's not yours, stop the inappropriate relationship, discipline your children as the Lord says to do, honor your mother and father, love your wife, love your husband. Okay, control your language. Whatever it is that you must obey. Okay, you know what it is. God knows what it is. Obedience matters. I know this from personal experience that disobedience is easier. Okay, disobedience is easier and in the short term more satisfying. Okay, obedience involves pain, it involves self-denial, and probably involves sorrow. But you must do it to show that you truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his spirit is in you. Okay, you must obey. It's high time. Okay, Hebrews here says, obey your pastor, right? Obey them that have the rule over you. That's the scriptures. Don't make their work a burden, because that's not good for anybody. That's the scriptures. Submit to one another out of reverence for God. That's the scriptures. Okay, obedience is a choice. It is a resolution you will make. It is an act of the will, and there's no time like the present to make up your mind, to buckle down and say, we are going to do the will of God, resolve to obey. Well, our time is finished. There's other things you could resolve. I'll tell you again, take the bulletin home, take your Bible and read the scriptures again. There's other things that you could resolve. Isn't it time for a more genuine and sincere rejoicing and thanksgiving? Hebrews 13:15 says, let us offer him a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Isn't it high time for more of that? Yes. A more heartfelt worship? more hospitality, more sharing, more of an appetite for God's word. It's high time for all these things. Okay, you have the scriptures. You don't just have to use the bulletin. You have the whole Bible. Read it. Okay, go home and mull over what the Lord says to you. Look into the mirror of your heart and compare what you see there with what you see here in this book. Okay? Some of you, it's been shared, some of you have made great advances in the Lord this year. And for that, I give God glory. I am thankful and I commend you and I congratulate you. It is great to be able to look back on a year of progress. Congratulations. Some of you say that you know Christ, but it's still high time for you to cooperate with his Spirit in renewing you in his glorious image. Okay, you've been procrastinating. Well, another year is gone. And some of you possibly don't even know Christ as your Savior. Hasn't the whole year then effectively been spent asleep? Hasn't your whole life been one long sleep, oblivious to the grace of God and to the good thing he would do in you, oblivious to the upward call, occupied with things that have no lasting value? Okay, it's high time. Repent, because the kingdom of God is near. Okay, don't worry about last year now. It's over. Coulda, woulda, shoulda is no good anyway. Okay, it's gone now. Things have kept you from the Lord, from obedience, whatever it was, fine. What will you do with the time that you have that remains? Okay, night is far spent. It's not over yet, but it almost is. I come quickly, the Lord says. Whoever, that includes you, whoever overcomes, I will clothe him in white. Whoever overcomes, I will give him to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Okay, that's you and that's me. Let's pray and we'll ask the Lord to do his will in us. And then we will close. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our church and our congregation, Lord, and these brothers and sisters and friends who are around us today. And most of all, we thank you for Christ Jesus, our wonderful, magnificent Lord, and his Spirit, who stirs us up to holiness, to better, a better, more abundant life, Lord. And that's what you said you came to give us. And so may we take hold of it, Lord, as we go ahead into the coming year. Please, Father, work your goodwill in us to the glory of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we pray in that wonderful name. Amen. Amen.